الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون صدق الله العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته In every person's life there is only one aspect of his life that he can be certain of that he can feel assured of that he has yaqeen upon. Everything else in a person's life, they are such that a person cannot have any bharosa, any trust upon anything besides this one thing in a person's life. And that is nothing else but maut, death. When it comes to wealth, when it comes to health, when it comes to richness, when it comes to happiness, sickness, whatever aspect of a person's life they be, there is no guarantee on that. But in regards to death, every person knows very well that one day he or she is definitely going to pass away from this world. Is definitely going to die, is definitely going to leave this temporary abode. This reality has to come into our lives. One is merely lip service, merely saying that one day we have to die. It is something guaranteed and we have to prepare for it. But the reality should come into our lives. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that the time, the method, the way, and the place of death is known to nobody. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it for a person to die at a certain time, whatever can take place, Allah ta'ala will make sure that Malakul Maut, the angel of death, takes the life of that person. When it is mentioned in certain kitabs that when a person's death, when a person has to die, when his death comes close, his soul is like a leaf upon one of the trees of Jannah, close to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That leaf then becomes dry and is about to fall off from that branch. Upon Malakul Maut, the angel of death, seeing that, he then realizes and he knows in advance that this person is about to pass away. Soon as that leaf leaves that tree, Allah Ta'ala then decrees for that person immediately to pass away. And at that time, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, removes his life from his body. But as I mentioned, there is no delay to anybody's death. Allah Ta'ala states in the Quran Sharif, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ Spend of what we have sustained you. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ Before death comes to one of you. فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْ لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي He says, Oh Allah, why don't you give me, أَخَّرْتَنِي, give me some time, give me some respite, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ To a very short while. فَأَصَّدَّقَ I will then give charity. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ I will be of the pious one. At that time, a person remembers he has to give so much of zakat. He has to read so much of namazes which have become qaza upon him. If hajj was farz upon him and he is being delaying, he then remembers that now is my time to perform the hajj. He then desires for a longer life for some time. But it has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person to pass away at that time. Allah Ta'ala then states, وَلَيْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجْلُهَا. Allah Ta'ala never ever, in Arabic, لَن is to negate, is to emphasize negation. That Allah Ta'ala will never ever delay a soul when the time has come, the time is up for a person to pass away. At that time, Allah Ta'ala never delays the death of a person. Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayh has mentioned in his tafsir, famous tafsir Ma'arif al-Quran, that every person breathes, takes in 24,000 breaths approximately every day. When that is multiplied by so many days a person has to live in this world, that is the end of his life. Not a single second, not a single breath can a person then take. But it is all a test for us. When, where and how, no one knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif speaks about Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَى مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا دَابَةُ الْأَرْضِ تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأْتَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam different abilities and capabilities. He could understand the languages and the sounds of birds, of the animals of the jungle. He had the jinnat under his control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed him to instruct the jinnat to build Baytul Muqaddas, Baytul Maqdis. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed it for him that 1 year before the completion of the construction of the Baytul Muqaddas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for him to pass away. It's an incident to teach us a lesson. It can be the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet of Allah. It could be any pious person. But when it has been decreed for a person, his taqdeer is such to pass away at a certain time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely take his life at that time. Whatever excuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, but when it has been decreed for him, he will definitely pass away at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam that he should make it seen to the jinnat that he is watching over them. By way, there's two narrations. According to one narration, he was sitting on his throne, being the king of that time. He had a stick under his chin and he was watching over them. And according to some narrations, he was standing, had a stick in his hand and reclining on that stick and watching over the jinnat building the Baytul Muqaddas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state instructed Malakul Maut, the angel of death, to take his life. Even though there be 1 year left, approximately 1 year left for the Baytul Muqaddas, for the construction of the Baytul Muqaddas to be completed. His life was taken at that time. The jinnat was still, they continued building the Baytul Muqaddas, thinking and considering him to be alive and watching over them. But in reality, his life was taken out. He had passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for him to pass at that time. To pass away at that time, he had to pass away from this world. After approximately a year, when the termites had eaten that stick, if he was sitting, he fell forward. If he was standing, he fell down. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, فَلَمَّا خَرَّ, when he fell, that's the only time when the jinnat realized, the jinnat actually had claimed that they had ilmul ghayb. They had the knowledge of the unseen, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. To know the details of everything, of the past, present and future, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that. To know the details of how many drops of water there is in the seas and the oceans of the world, to know how many granules of sand exist in the world, to know how many trees are there in the world, to know how many leaves are upon the trees of the entire world, and the further details of that, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that. So the jinnat claimed that they had ilmul ghayb. They knew everything. When Sulaiman alayhi salam fell forward, he fell down, that's the only time when they were proven to be wrong, that you do not have the knowledge of the unseen. Had you had that knowledge, you would have known that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away approximately 1 year before that. When they estimated how much a termite could eat every day, and they saw the length of his stick, they worked it out, according to their calculations, approximately a year. Allama Mahalli rahimahullah in Tafsir Jalalain mentions that approximately a year it was, by them calculating it in this way. So it was destined for Sulaiman ﷺ to pass away, and he had to pass away at that time. Despite whatever work was left, what a great work, what a great deed of building the Baytul Muqaddas, weighing by reading Salah, is so much of Sawab, the first Qibla of the Muslims. But it was destined for him to pass away, he had to pass away at that time. But dear respected brethren in Islam, when we say prepare for death, mutu qabla an tamutu, that remember your death before you can even pass away. Remember, aksiru dhikra hadhi min ladhat al-maut. Rasulullah says in hadith, in plentiness, one should remember his death that cuts off and severs all the temporary pleasures of this world. Those pleasures that if permissible, one can use it and enjoy it. But if not permissible, a person is not allowed at all to enjoy himself in that way. So Rasulullah says in the hadith, remember death a lot in plentiness. But when we say prepare for death, what is meant by that? Sheikh Mubarak rahimahullah explains that when a person is told to prepare for death, when we are instructed to prepare for death, according to his explanation, a person should keep in mind the 7 questions that he is going to be asked after death. One is the sakarat of death. Whatever person will experience at the time of death, that is one part of it. But the main part is the 7 questions that a person will experience and go through after death. We know when a person is being questioned, whether it be his exam, whether it be his interview, whether it be he's being audited by the receiver of the revenue, which everybody fears of. How much fear comes into a person's heart? How much he prepares that he must be successful and he must be able to answer those questions? So similarly, when a person prepares for death, these 7 questions should be kept in his mind. First are the 3 questions which a person is asked in his grave, where the angels of death, the angels of the punishment of the grave, Munkar and Nakir, will ask him these 3 questions. It's mentioned in the hadith that when a person is buried and people begin to move away from his grave for approximately 40 steps, these 2 angels, these are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where these 2 angels, Rasulullah says, these 2 angels make this person sit up and they begin to question him. The angels, the Munkar and Nakir of the grave, according to some narrations it is mentioned that if it is destined for that person to be punished in the grave, they carry with them such hammers, each hammer that they carry, if the entire creation from the time of Adam alayhi salam till Qiyamah, all the insan and all the jinnah have to gather to pick up one hammer of Munkar and Nakir, they will not be able to do so. And they carry not one, but more than that, when they come to the person in the grave. His person is made to sit up. He is questioned, Man Rabbuk? Who is your Lord? Who is your sustainer? Who is your nourisher? Who is your creator? This is what he's asked. The first question. If this person lived his life, what is the way for us to say now, my Lord is Allah, my creator is Allah, we prepare from now? Just to say that much, it won't suffice. But Shaykh Mubarak rahimahullah says that the method of making it easier upon a person to answer those questions is that a person lives his life in accordance to what he's going to answer. If a person lives his life in that way, for him to answer in the grave to Munkar and Nakir will become easy. When they will say, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? Then to say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah, my Creator is Allah. If a person lives his life in that way, he has full yaqeen, full iman, and full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for him to answer there will become easy. If he lives in his life in such a way that he knows who's Allah, he knows the names of Allah, he knows the qualities of Allah, he speaks about Allah, the greatness of Allah is in his heart, and he lives his life obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to then reply that my Lord is Allah. He is the one who has created me. He is the one who has so many great qualities. He is the one who I obeyed in my entire life. To reply at that time will be easy. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, being a baby of 3 to 4 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed his mother to place him into a box, place that box on the river Nile and let him go. Fir'aun, the oppressive ruler of that time, had instructed that every male child be killed and slaughtered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to protect Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. His mother did in accordance to what Allah ta'ala told her, inspired her. And she placed him into a box, being a child of 3 to 4 months. He was placed on River Nile and he was sent down. He landed up in the hands of his own enemy Fir'aun, who he then grew up in the palace of Fir'aun. For 30 years approximately, he stayed in the palace of Fir'aun. He was even called the son of Fir'aun. He used to wear the clothes provided by Fir'aun, eat the food given by Fir'aun, and stay in Fir'aun's palace. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to make him a Nabi, protected him. He went to Madian. He came back, became a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the same Allah protected him, Musa alayhi wasalam, in the hands of his own enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructed him to take his people through the sea. Take his staff, take his stick and place it on the sea. The sea will split. He went through. They went through, but the people of Fir'aun were drowned, and even Fir'aun. This is the trust that he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mother had that trust. This is the trust he had. That yaqeen he had. That trust he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is my Allah. My Allah can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants and however he wants. If we will live, there are many incidents we can mention. There's no time to mention the incidents. But if we will live our lives in a way that we firmly believe Allah is our Rabb, Allah is our creator, nourisher, cherisher, provider, everything's Allah, then to answer Rabbi Allah will become easy. The second question, Ma Dinuk, what is your religion? If we live our lives in this world in a way that Islam is our religion, we do not love the ways of any religion but Islam, and we follow the commandments laid down to us being Muslims, then to reply there, my deen, my religion is Islam, will be easy. It is worthless that the person makes claims that I'm a Muslim, I have a Muslim name, but his actions are totally contrary to that. Like a person, you may have heard this example many a times previously, a person who advertises in his shop that he has certain items in his shop, but when a person enters that shop, that place of merchandise, he finds articles and merchandise in that place contrary to what was advertised outside. He will then, what will he say about the shopkeeper? Similarly, we advertise outside as Islam. We have Islam, Muslim names. We claim to be Muslims, but is Islam our life? Is it our lifestyle? Islam literally means submission to Allah. Do we submit to the wills of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? The third question will be, what do you have to say about this person that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we live our lives in accordance to the sunnah tariqah in this world, it'll become easy for us to then reply that this is the Nabi of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that is only if we have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by way of practice. That will be the three questions in the grave. On the day of Qiyamah, there's not much time to explain the details, but we will just go through the four questions on the day of Qiyamah, where a person will be questioned about everything, but especially these four things. The hadith is mentioned, a person's feet, every person's feet, will not be allowed to move from its place until he answers this, until he gives answers for these four questions. An umrihi fi ma afna, in regards to his life, how he spent his life. Was his life spent in obedience of Allah? Was it spent in a way how a Muslim is supposed to live? By way of practice, how was it spent? An shababihi fima abla, in regards to his adolescence, when he was a youth, his youth age, how was it spent? That is why it's mentioned in hadith that a youth, a shabun, a youngster that grows up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillah. There will be seven people under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of them, one will be this person. He'll be specifically questioned. One is about his life, and one is specifically about his youth, his adolescence, his youth age. How was it spent? Where was it spent? How he lived his life. Normally it is said, Ash-shabab wa shu'batu min al-junun. Adolescence, youth age, is a branch of insanity. Person becomes insane in that time. He does not know what to do. He does whatever he feels like. Doesn't listen to anybody. But at that time, if his life was spent in a proper way, in the proper company, in the proper environment, such a person would be then kept under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Third question on the day of Qiyamah will be, عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اَكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. Where he earned his wealth from, and where was it spent? Was it earned from haram means? By dealing in haram merchandise? By drawing down his creditors? By stealing from people? By gambling? By dealing in haram articles? By selling drugs? By selling those things that are not permissible for a Muslim to sell? Where he earned his money from? And where he spent his money? Was it spent in the right way? Did he waste? Was he a bakhil? How was his wealth spent? Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, in Bukhari Sharif, in page 542, it is mentioned, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh had a slave who used to work every day, and whatever he used to earn, he used to buy food with that for Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, and give it to Abu Bakr radiallahu anh to eat. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh used to question him every day in regards to what was the source of his income. At one instance, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was very much hungry on that day. Before questioning his slave, he ate whatever that slave gave him. The slave then asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anh that, oh my master Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, this money that I earned, my income today, you did not ask me about it today. The slave then replied that in Jahiliyyah, in the time before Islam, I was a fortune teller. And I deceived someone. I did like I was doing some fortune telling for him. But I deceived him. I spoke lies to him. But he paid me today. I used that money and I bought that food for you, which you have already eaten. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh realized that he had eaten something haram. To earn money through fortune telling is totally haram. Immediately inserted his finger into his throat and took out whatever he could. Everything he took out from whatever he had eaten. To show to us the importance of halal and haram. To be concerned that not one morsel of haram must go into his system. He must not be nourished by one morsel of haram. So the third question will be, how you earned your wealth and where you spent it. And fourthly, it will be, أَنَ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ عَلَيْهِ. In regards to his knowledge, how much amal, how much practice, how much had he made amal upon what he knew. If you have ilm, those who have ilm, their punishment will be more of those people who do not have ilm. Does not mean we must not attain ilm. It is first to attain it. But if you have it and you know it and you are doing it, the punishment is much more than a person who does not know it is wrong. But still he has to learn what is right and what is wrong. But these seven questions, if a person keeps this in mind and then prepares for death, the three in the grave, who is your Lord? What is your religion? What do you have to say of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? On the day of Qiyamah, in regards to how he spent his life, his youth age, where he earned his wealth, where he spent it, and in regards to what amal, what practice he made upon his knowledge, if this will be kept in mind, then for a person to prepare for death will become easy. And this will be the proper way how a person will prepare for his death, for his actual life, for his eternal abode in hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we remember death at all times and we prepare for death and we realize that this worldly life is just a temporary life. That is our eternal, that is our actual life. That is the life for which we have to really prepare for. Wa akhidawan, alhamdulillah.